Bible Study, Chapter 5. Apostle Paul, who became an ambassador of Christ. The hope of resurrection that longs for the eternal dwelling in heaven beyond the tent of the earth. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul explains the hope of resurrection by comparing the human flesh and the eternal body that God has prepared for the future. This word shows why the saints live looking at the eternal life of heaven while living in this world. First, Paul expresses our present flesh as our earthly house, this tent. A tent means a temporary dwelling like a canopy. This means that our flesh is not eternal, but a temporary body to stay in for a short while. The human body becomes weak as time passes and eventually faces death. So Paul explains this flesh not as an eternal house, but as a tent used for a short time. However, Paul says that when this tent collapses, it is not the end, but there is a new house prepared by God. That house is a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This means the eternal body and eternal life prepared by God. It is not a heavenly dwelling made by humans, but one prepared directly by God. So Paul says that the saints groan while living in this world. This groaning does not come from despair, but is a groaning of hope waiting for a more perfect life. Because the saints experience weakness and pain in the life of this earth, they earnestly long to be clothed with the dwelling coming from heaven. Paul uses an important expression here. He says, "Not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed." This means that the purpose is not simply to take off the flesh, but to put on the new body prepared by God. God did not make the saints simply end with death, but prepared a salvation that clothes them with a new body of life. So Paul says, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. This does not speak of death as the final result, but speaks of the moment when life overcomes death. It means that God completely swallows up death through resurrection and gives eternal life to the saints. Lastly, Paul says that this hope is not a simple expectation, but a promise that God has already guaranteed. God gave the Holy Spirit to the saints as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is the evidence of God's promise that surely guarantees the salvation and resurrection that God will accomplish in the future. That the Holy Spirit dwells in a saint is the confirmation that God will guide that person to eternal life. This word shows the fact that the life of a saint is not a life that simply looks only at the present world, but a life that looks at the eternal kingdom of God. Our flesh is weak and eventually disappears, but God is preparing an eternal dwelling and a new body of life for the saints. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 shows the direction of the life of a saint. A saint is a person who does not place hope only in the tent of this earth, but lives looking at the eternal dwelling of heaven. And that hope is not a vague expectation, but a sure promise that God has already guaranteed through the Holy Spirit. A life of walking by faith, pleasing the Lord, and looking toward the judgment seat of Christ. So so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul explains with what mind and attitude the saints should live while living in this world. At the center of this word, a life lived by faith, a life seeking to please the Lord, and the hope and responsibility of standing before the judgment seat of Christ in the future, appear together. First, Paul says that the saints can always be bold. The reason is that a saint is not a person who looks only at the present life, but knows the eternal life prepared by God. However, he simultaneously states an important fact. It is that while we are living in the flesh now, we are not in a state of dwelling completely together with the Lord. This does not mean being disconnected from God, but it means not having entered the perfect state of the kingdom of God yet. So Paul calls the present life a life walking by faith. We are not living in a state of seeing God directly with our eyes, but are living a life looking at God by faith. That is, the standard of our lives is not the visible reality, but God's promise and eternal truth. Paul then continues to speak of his hope. He says that he wants to leave the body and dwell with the Lord. This is not simply a word desiring death, but an expression hoping for a state of being completely together with God. Because for a saint, death is not the end, but the way to enter a state of being more closely together with the Lord. However, Paul does not take the present life lightly. He says that we must live a life pleasing the Lord while living on this earth now. So he says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him." Here, to dwell means the state of being alive in this world, and to leave means the state of leaving the flesh and going before God. Whichever state one is in, the goal of a saint's life is to please the Lord. This word shows the fact that a saint's life does not flow irresponsibly, but is a life with meaning and responsibility before God. A saint is not a person who lives according to the standards of the world, but a person who lives before God. Ultimately, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10 clearly shows the direction of a saint's life. A saint is not a person who lives according to what is seen, but a person who lives by faith, and a person who pursues a life that pleases the Lord through life in this world. And remembering that they will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they come to live a responsible life before God. Such a life does not start from fear, but is a life that comes from faith that loves the Lord and looks at the kingdom of God. So a saint, even within the present life, walks by faith and walks toward a life that pleases the Lord. Knowing the fear of the Lord, exhorting men, and the apostles' sincerity for God and the saints. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul explains the reason he preaches the gospel and exhorts people, and the reverence toward God and the sincerity toward the saints that are at the center of that ministry. This word shows with what mind a gospel minister should minister, and upon what standard his actions are carried out. First, Paul says that we know the fearfulness of the Lord. The fear spoken of here does not mean simple terror, but a mind that deeply reveres God. Because God is holy and is the one who judges all things, Paul must always be conscious of the fact that he lives before God. Because he knew that someday all people would come to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he did not think lightly of the work of preaching the gospel and exhorting people. So Paul says he exhorts people. Gospel ministry is not simply the work of delivering information, but a ministry of exhorting people so that they return to God. Because Paul knew the responsibility he had before God, he preached the gospel of water and the Spirit to people, and continuously exhorted them to live by faith. Paul also says that his ministry is a life revealed before God. He says, "We are well known to God." This means that his ministry is not hidden, but God already knows it. Paul considered a life lived by faith before God more important than the evaluation of people. And he says he hopes that he is also revealed to the consciences of the saints of the Corinthian church. That is, he hoped that the saints, looking at Paul's ministry and life, could also know by faith with what mind he was preaching the gospel. Paul also makes it clear that his saying this is not to boast of himself. He is not speaking to elevate his own honor, but is speaking to help the saints discern true ministers from people who boast with outward appearance. At that time, there were people who boasted of themselves with outward abilities or flashy words. But Paul says that such standards are not important, but a sincere heart and a life of faith before God are important. Lastly, Paul acknowledges the fact that people might not understand him. Some people, seeing his passionate ministry, even thought he was crazy. However, Paul says this. He says that if he looks like he is crazy, it is for God. And if he looks like a person of sound mind, it is for the saints. This word shows the fact that the center of Paul's life is not himself, but God and the church. He did not minister for the evaluation or honor of people, but lived for the glory of God and the benefit of the saints. Ultimately, this word shows what the center of gospel ministry is. A gospel minister is not a person who works to be recognized by people, but a person who exhorts people with a mind that reveres God. The standard of his life is not outward success or honor, but sincerity before God and love toward the saints. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13 shows the mind of a gospel minister. It is a ministry of faith that exhorts people with a mind that reveres God and lives not for one's own honor, but for God and the church. A life lived for the Lord, led by the love of Christ. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, the Apostle Paul explains what the deepest driving force is that moves gospel ministry and the life of a saint. That is exactly the love of Christ. Paul says that his life and ministry are being accomplished not because of duty or coercion, but by being strongly led by the love of Christ. First, Paul says, "For the love of Christ compels us." The word compel here does not mean dragging by force, but rather strongly taking hold of and making one move. He says that what moved Paul's heart and determined the direction of his life was not the honor or success of the world, but the love of Jesus Christ. A person who has realized the Lord's love can no longer live in the same way as before. Paul explains the event that is at the center of that love. It is that if one died for all. The one person spoken of here is Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ died on behalf of all people means that his death is not simply an individual's death, but a substitutionary death for humanity. The baptism and cross of Christ are the event where Jesus Christ received the judgment of sin on behalf of sinners who had no choice but to die due to sin. So Paul says, "Then all died." This means that the death of Christ is not simply the death of one person, but a death representing all of humanity. Humans were beings dead before God because of sin, but within the death of Christ, that problem of sin and judgment was handled. However, the purpose of Christ's death does not end simply at solving the problem of sin. Paul explains the reason Christ died on behalf of all people. That is to make people no longer live for themselves. Humans are originally beings who live self-centeredly. A life lived for one's own desires and goals is the natural appearance of humans. However, when one realizes the love of Christ, the center of life changes. Now, the saint becomes a person who lives for Christ, not a person who lives for oneself. Paul refers to Christ as, "but for him who died for them and rose again." Jesus Christ was baptized by John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, and was crucified and died on the cross, but his ministry did not end there, and he resurrected from death. So the life of a saint is not simply a sacrificial life, but a life lived by gaining the life of resurrection. Ultimately, this word clearly shows the direction of a saint's life. A saint is no longer a person who lives centered on oneself, but a person who lives for Jesus Christ, who was baptized for them and lived again from death. And the power that makes that life possible is not the law or duty, but the power that comes from faith. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 shows the core of the gospel. Because Jesus Christ died on our behalf and lived again, a person who has realized that love will no longer live a self-centered life, but will live a new life, living for Christ. This very life is the life of a saint living led by the love of Christ. A life lived becoming a new creation in Christ. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, the Apostle Paul explains how a person's life is changed through the gospel. This word speaks not of a simple moral change, but a change where the existence itself has become new. That is, the life of one who has become a new creation in Christ. And that change makes even the gaze looking at people completely new. First, Paul says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." Here, knowing according to the flesh refers to the standard of judging people by the standards of the world and human perspectives. Evaluating people by standards such as a person's appearance, status, ability, and background is exactly the fleshly standard. However, a person who has realized the gospel and entered into Christ no longer looks at people by human standards. Paul even says there was a time when he knew Jesus Christ according to the flesh. This confesses that Paul previously saw Jesus simply as a figure in history, or from a human perspective. However, because he now came to know Christ as the Lord who accomplished God's salvation, he said he no longer understands Christ by fleshly standards. Such faith changes a person's entire life. So Paul makes a very important declaration. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This does not simply mean that one's personality changes a little, or one's lifestyle becomes a little different. The term new creation means that God has completely newly created that person. This change is a spiritual creation that God accomplishes. It is a change in which a person does not make oneself new by one's own effort, but God makes that person into a new being in Christ. So Paul says, "Old things have passed away." It means the previous life, the life under the dominion of sin, and the life disconnected from God have passed away. And continuing, he says, "Behold, all things have become new." This is a declaration that a new life has begun by faith, within a new relationship with God. This new life is not simply a life where outward behavior changes, but a life where the center and direction of life have changed. Previously, one lived centered on oneself, but now it is a life lived centered on Christ. Previously, one looked at people by the standards of the world, but now one comes to look at people with God's gaze. Ultimately, this word shows the most fundamental change that the gospel brings. The gospel is God's work that does not end simply at having sins removed, but changes a person into a completely new being. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, clearly shows the identity of a saint. A saint is not simply a religious person, but a person newly created in Christ, that is, a new creation. And that new being comes to live a life of faith by believing in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Reconciliation with God accomplished through Christ and the saints entrusted with a new mission. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19, the Apostle Paul very clearly explains the core of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. It is the faith that God accomplished reconciliation between humans and God through Jesus Christ, and at the same time, that he entrusted the mission of spreading the news of that reconciliation to the saints. This word shows the content of the gospel and the mission of the saints together. First, Paul says that all things are from God. This means that the beginning of salvation did not come from humans, but started from God. Salvation was not accomplished by humans seeking God and requesting reconciliation, but God first prepared the way of salvation and gave salvation to those who believe. And God entrusted to the saints the ministry of reconciling again those who had become estranged from him due to sin. So Paul says that God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Reconciliation means that a relationship that was disconnected from each other is restored again. Humans had their relationship with God cut off due to sin, but God gave salvation to those who now believe. Because Jesus Christ had the sins of the world transferred onto his own body through the baptism he received from John, received the judgment of sin on the cross, and resurrected from death. Paul continues by saying that God did not stop at merely accomplishing reconciliation, but gave the saints the ministry of reconciliation This is a very important fact. God did not leave the people who believe the gospel simply as saved people, but entrusted them with the mission of spreading the news of that reconciliation to other people. Therefore, a saint is a person who is reconciled with God, while at the same time a person who spreads reconciliation. They come to play the role of spreading the news of salvation accomplished by God to the world and helping people return to God. Paul also explains how this ministry of reconciliation was accomplished. He says God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. This means that God directly accomplished the work of salvation through Jesus Christ. God did not merely command to save humans from afar, but directly accomplished the work of salvation through Christ. Also, Paul says that God did not count people's sins against them. This is the core of the gospel. Humans were disconnected from God because of sin, but God the Father is not one who judged by returning human sins exactly to humans, but granted salvation once and for all through the gospel word of the water and the Spirit accomplished through Jesus Christ. So Paul says at the end that God committed the word of reconciliation to us. The word spoken of here is exactly the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. The gospel word of the water and the Spirit is the message of reconciliation, announcing the work God did to reconcile with humans. This word shows what the life of a saint exists for. A saint does not remain simply as a person who enjoys personal salvation, but is a person who spreads the news of the gospel of the water and the Spirit accomplished by God to the whole world. Ultimately, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19, shows two important truths of the gospel. First, that God accomplished reconciliation between humans and God through Jesus Christ. Second, that he entrusted the mission of spreading the news of that reconciliation to the saints. Therefore, a saint is a person reconciled with God, and at the same time a person who has the mission to spread the gospel of reconciliation to the world. In such a life, the grace of salvation accomplished by God continues to be spread in the midst of the world. Gospel missionaries preaching reconciliation as ambassadors on behalf of Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, the Apostle Paul very strongly expresses the identity and mission of the saints who preach the gospel. He calls the saints ambassadors on behalf of Christ and says that God is telling people to be reconciled through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. This word lets us know how important the ministry of spreading the gospel of the water and the Spirit is. First, Paul says, "We are ambassadors for Christ." An ambassador is an official representative who goes to another country to deliver a message on behalf of a king or ruler of a certain country. An ambassador is not a person who conveys their own thoughts, but a person who conveys the will and words of the sender exactly as they are. Paul means that the people who preach the gospel word of the water and the Spirit play exactly this role of an ambassador of Jesus Christ. God's workers are not people who preach their own thoughts or philosophies, but those who testify the gospel word of Jesus Christ to people. So Paul says that God makes us exhort you. This means that the person preaching the gospel is not simply persuading with human words, but that God is speaking directly to people through that message. The people who hear the gospel are not simply listening to one person's words, but are those who are listening to the word of God's calling. Therefore, Paul uses a very earnest expression. He says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf." Here, to implore means an attitude of earnestly requesting and appealing, going beyond simply explaining or teaching. When Paul preached the gospel to people, he exhorted them not with a simple delivery of information, but with a deep earnestness toward their souls. The content of that imploring is very clear. Be reconciled to God. This is the core message of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Humans were in a state of disconnection from God due to sin, but God opened the way of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Now, what is necessary for people is to accept that way of reconciliation and return to God. So the gospel word of the water and the Spirit is not a simple religious teaching, but a request for reconciliation sent by God to humans. Before judging people's sins, God is first requesting reconciliation. This word clearly shows what the mission of a saint is. A saint is not simply a person who keeps their faith personally, but an ambassador sent by God. They live a life of preaching the gospel of reconciliation, accomplished by God in the midst of the world, and exhorting people to return to God. Ultimately, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 shows the identity and mission of a saint at the same time. A saint is an ambassador on behalf of Christ, and a person who preaches the message to the world to be reconciled to God. And that ministry is not a simple activity, but a holy mission of participating in the work where God directly appeals to people. The righteousness of God obtained by faith, believing in the ministry of Jesus Christ, who eliminated the sins of the world. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 is a word that shows the core of the gospel most concisely, yet deeply. This verse explains how God solved the problem of human sin and made people righteous through Jesus Christ. First, Paul calls Jesus Christ him who knew no sin. This means that Jesus is essentially a person who has no sin at all. Although Jesus Christ put on a human body and came to this world as the Savior of sinners, he did not commit sin, nor did he have a sinful nature. Jesus Christ was a completely holy and righteous Savior before God the Father. However, Paul says that God the Father made this sinless one to be sin on our behalf. This means that Jesus received the baptism given by John on his own body, had the sins of the world transferred to him, went to the cross, and became the Savior who received the judgment of our sins on our behalf. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is exactly this truth, that is, Jesus Christ fully bore the judgment that sinners should receive through the baptism and the cross. Although Jesus had no sin, he bore the sins of sinners through baptism, suffered on the cross, and died. This shows the fact that God did not just pass over sin, but dealt with it righteously. The judgment of sin absolutely had to be carried out, but Christ, not humans, received that judgment on our behalf. And Paul explains the purpose of this ministry of salvation. He says that the reason Jesus had to be baptized by John and hang on the cross is so that we who believe might become the righteousness of God in him. Here, becoming the righteousness of God does not mean a person becomes righteous by their own effort, but speaks of the salvation that they believed the word of salvation he gave in Christ and received the elimination of sins. As a result of that faith, we believe that the baptism he received from John and the blood of the cross in Jesus Christ are the price for our sins, and we have received salvation by that faith. This is not obtained by human effort or merit, but is a salvation accomplished by believing in the salvation given by God. Because God knew that humans could not become righteous on their own, he prepared the perfect gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. Ultimately, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, shows the power of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. It means that those who believe in the ministry of salvation, where Jesus Christ had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism received from John and received the judgment of sin on the cross, have had all their sins blotted out and have become God's people. This gospel is the gospel of the righteousness of God revealed through Jesus Christ.